From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Colorado teachers plan to head to their state's capital on Thursday and Friday of this week to demand better conditions for their schools. The state's teachers are among educators from a growing number of states around the country, demanding better wages, benefits, and school facilities. The Colorado Education Association planned their last action on April 16th to pressure the state legislature on reforms to their pension plans. This new action comes at a time when the state Senate is considering a bill that would ban teachers from striking and slap them with hefty fines as well as possible jail time. My guest is Carrie Dahlman, president of the Colorado Education Association. Welcome to the program, Carrie.
Thank you, Sonali. Happy to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us. So first, tell us what is happening specifically on Thursday and Friday. Some news articles are calling it a walkout and saying that some schools are going to be shut down because of it. What are you calling it, and what exactly will be happening?
Well, we're calling Thursday and Friday our days of action. And we're not really using the word walkout because these are educators who are using personal leave to come down to the state capitol and talk to their elected representatives. So over Thursday and Friday, we're expecting to have 10,000 plus educators at the capitol talking to their elected representatives, as well as rallying and marching in support of our schools and school funding, and certainly for our profession where our pension is concerned.
So tell us what happened April 16th. This was the last time that teachers confronted lawmakers at the Capitol. What was the issue then, and what was the response by state lawmakers?
Sure. So on April 16th, there were two bills being heard. One was concerning our pension. We call that Senate Bill 200. Our pension system right now has an unfunded liability of about 78 years. And certainly as educators, we'd like to see that improved, as would the legislators. And so a bill was introduced to bring that funding status down to 30 years. So that was being heard. We certainly had concerns with the way the bill exited the Senate and thought it was pretty unfair to educators and would actually disincentivize future people from coming into education as a profession. The other bill being heard in House Education was the School Finance Act. And so we really had two incredibly important issues that day that we were addressing. One was school funding, and the other was ensuring that we have a stable retirement that educators could count on.
And so was it essentially a mixed bag that the lawmakers, in terms of their response to teachers showing up and protesting?
Well, we got some amendments on the pension bill that we find acceptable. One of those was to move defined contribution out of the pension reform bill. Defined contribution is another way to say 401k investment options for employees. The problem with including a 401k style option is that it actually hurts the defined benefit pension that exists, and it didn't help reduce that unfunded liability at all, and actually would have cost our unfunded or our underfunded public schools even more money. So we were really happy to see defined contribution removed from the bill. Also, the House Finance Committee lowered the retirement age. Currently, it's 58 years old, but the Senate had moved that up to 65. And so in the House, we were able to bring that back down to 60. And then we got a concession as well in the form of an amendment on what we call the highest average salary. Right now, that's set at 3 years. And so your highest average salary is averaged out over 3 years, and that determines your benefit at retirement. And the Senate Republicans had increased that to 7 years from 3 years, and the House was able to bring that down to 5 years. The one issue we weren't successful on was dealing with the cost of living for our retirees. Originally, prior to 2010, the cost of living for our retirees in terms of their pension benefit was about 3%. And right now, what's in the current bill is 1.25%. So that's pretty concerning to us that we went from a system prior to 2010 of 3%, and now what's on the table is 1.25%.
Wow. Now, what are the conditions that Colorado teachers in general face in the classrooms? You know, when you sort of speak to the public about why teachers are using their own personal paid leave to or personal leave to show up at the Capitol, they're doing so because the situation for teachers, which in turn, of course, impacts students, I'm assuming is dire?
Yeah, you know, school funding is dire. The state legislature is not upholding a constitutional amendment that was passed back in 2000. When Colorado hit the recession, they weren't able to fund at the level required by Amendment 23, which when it was passed in 2000 required education funding to increase by the rate of inflation. And over the last 9 years, the state legislature has withheld a total of $6.6 billion from our public schools. When you consider that money being withheld and the fact that we're already underfunding our schools at about $2,700 below the national per pupil average, you can see the kind of impact that that's taken on Colorado's classrooms over the last decade. We have, you know, teachers who are working two and three jobs. We have teachers who are, you know, buying their own reams of paper because the school, you know, cuts them off at 300 copies a month. We have teachers buying their own supplemental textbooks because they recognize, you know, their history textbooks are so out of date. And we've had, you know, three and sometimes four presidents since that publication. And so we really have been trying and reaching into our own pockets to make up for the shortfall. But as educators, we can't afford to do so. Hmm. We recently did a study in the fall that our members reported on average across our 35,000 members. On average, they're dipping into their own pockets to the tune of $650 a year in order to buy essential things for our students and their education.
I mean, it's just such a sad statement of affairs that when our government has so much money to, you know, drop bombs overseas and throw a few million dollars here and there at things that don't really impact everyday people, that our public school teachers are dipping into their own pockets, that, you know, poorly paid teachers paying for school supplies for our kids. That is just really unconscionable. And, you know, we constantly hear of our public schools having to have fundraisers and reach out to the parents to raise funds for all sorts of essential things for the kids that shouldn't be that way. I mean, there should be enough money for this most critical of issues, which is the education of kids. Now, what do you make of this bill that is getting a lot of attention and being recognized or being introduced by Senator Bob Gardner and Representative Paul Lundeen in the Colorado General Assembly? It's the Prohibit Public School Teacher Strikes Bill. And essentially, this would punish teachers with huge fines or up to 6 months in county jail or both if they go on strike.
Yeah, you know, it sounds an awful lot like to me as an attack on public educators. It's certainly a threat to public educators who are choosing to use their First Amendment constitutional right to speak, as well as the freedom of assembly and the freedom of association. So the way we view this particular bill, you know, it's an election year, so some of our Republican lawmakers are looking for issues to run on and use during their elections. And this clearly is an outright attack on public school teachers. And, you know, it's really a shame because none of our members want to take a day out of the classroom to come down to the state capitol and talk to their legislators. But we feel like this is the only way to get our message across. We have for years had smaller lobby days where, you know, 10 or 20 educators would come down to the Capitol and plead with our state legislators to do the right thing and to fund our schools. And that has not gotten us the results that our kids deserve. And so we feel like the only option available for us now is to show up en masse in order to make sure that Colorado students aren't just an election issue, but they're really a focus of our elected representatives in ensuring that, you know, Colorado remains a great place to live now and well into the future.
So the actions slated to take place Thursday and Friday, you mentioned your organization, Colorado Educators Association, which represents tens of thousands of teachers. Let me clarify, Colorado Education Association, CEA, representing tens of thousands of teachers, that you're careful to not call it a walkout because teachers are using their own leave to do that. And so you're calling it a day of action. However, some schools will be forced to close because there just won't be enough teachers there because you're taking their leave at the same time. What's the difference between all of these actions and a strike? Because a strike is an official action, often, you know, usually defined as something voted on by a majority of members of a union, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, there are a lot of rules and laws, both federally and at the state level, that govern what a strike is. For us in Colorado, we have school districts who have negotiated individual contracts. And for us to strike, that would be a sign of bad faith bargaining. And we don't want to do that. As much as possible, we have worked in coordination with our school districts so as not to, you know, leave them in the lurch or leave parents in the lurch. We wanted to make sure that everybody had enough time to make alternative plans. Because again, we're not doing this to penalize parents, although we recognize it's an inconvenience for them, but we're doing this for our students in our classrooms. It's not a strike. No notice has been given to the Colorado Department of Labor. This is educators taking personal leave to advocate for their students and their profession.
I understand that the state has a pretty severe teacher shortage. If so, I wouldn't be surprising given that salaries are just not that high, right?
Yeah, you know, when you look at the last 15 years in Colorado, educator salaries they've actually lost 17% in salary when you adjust for inflation. And so, you know, that's one of the reasons why we're 46th in the nation when it comes to teacher pay.
Wow. And of course, the logic that high pay attracts talent seems to only apply to corporate CEOs for some reason. It's not used as a similar logic for our teachers. I understand also that just from reading the news reports, that teachers in Colorado feel demoralized with how much they have been turned into a bit of an election year issue by some lawmakers who've been bashing them. Has there been support from the public and other lawmakers?
Yeah, we've seen a lot of support from the public. And, you know, surprisingly, even though parents are being inconvenienced, we're seeing a lot of support from parents because I think they really understand and recognize that, you know, educators have reached their breaking point, that unless we stand up and take advantage of this national momentum to make change, that we may never ever see a time like this again. And, you know, Colorado has its own funding difficulties. We are the only state in the nation with the Taxpayer Bill of Rights. And so that really ties the hands of a lot of our elected representatives. But even still, you know, we feel like we shouldn't be giving, you know, massive corporate tax breaks until we have restored education funding in Colorado and until we're, you know, funding our schools at least at the national average.
Now, what about the boost in sales taxes that the state has seen from marijuana sales? Do any of those apply towards education? Colorado became one of the earliest states to legalize recreational use of marijuana. And one of the upsides of that, and there's many other upsides, has been that there's been higher amounts of sales tax flowing into the state's coffers.
Yeah, so that's one of those myths that needs busting. Colorado schools do benefit from marijuana tax money, but that benefit is limited only to capital construction. Huh. And so those dollars flow through our Building Excellent Schools Today program, which provides matching money to school districts to, you know, replace roofs or fix boilers or replace a building in its entirety. So none of that marijuana money is going to pay for the operational costs, to pay the salaries of teachers or to lower class sizes for our students.
Wow. What's a good way for us to understand the Colorado teachers' situation in the national context? We've seen teachers in West Virginia, in Oklahoma, in Arizona, growing numbers of teachers in states around the country saying enough is enough. We can't deal with this constant lack of underfunding.
Yeah, so in the national context, I'd say the states that you've just listed off in Colorado were absolutely in the same boat. But I think the things happening in our states that we're rising up to address are happening in every other state in this nation. We've not done a good job of prioritizing our public schools, support of our public schools and our public school students. But in Colorado, unlike those other states, our legislature doesn't have the ability to raise taxes or revenues on their own. We have to actually go to a vote of the people and ask them for a tax increase. And just a moment ago, you mentioned the marijuana tax. That is one of the only taxes besides the tobacco tax to increase in the last 30 years here in Colorado. That's a problem. And so we've gone to the voters two separate times to ask for additional money for our schools, and the voters have not approved that. We're going to try again this year with Great Schools, Thriving Communities. It's a ballot issue that's designed to raise $1.6 billion annually. So part of our message to the legislature is, you know, do what you can, but join us in supporting Initiative 93 and going to the taxpayers and asking for those funds to support our schools.
Right. So when would that be on the ballot if that were to go through?
Yeah, we're in petition signature collection time right now. So we have between now and July to collect the necessary signatures to get the issue on the ballot. So the vote would be this November.
And give out a website for the Colorado Education Association, Carrie?
Yeah, it is coloradoea.org.
And we'll post a link to that from our site so people can also find out how they can find out about the education situation in Colorado and support teachers. Thank you so much for joining us. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much, Sonali.
My guest has been Carrie Dahlman, president of the Colorado Education Association. We've been discussing Colorado teachers' planned actions on Thursday and Friday. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.